Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Most people know me online as the JV Queen, short for the Joint Venture Queen, because of the many years of brokering joint ventures and product launches for some of the biggest names online. You'll get to hear more about that on the show today. I'm calling in live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And we have got a fantastic episode lined up for all of you. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. I am so excited for the show that we're going to be sharing with everybody today because, as you well know, you and I have so many conversations behind the scenes about joint ventures and you with your long track record in the online world of crafting highly lucrative joint ventures, me in the offline world teaching my clients and students specifically how to think from this perspective of creating leverage by creating strategic alliances and joint ventures. And you and I have such rich conversations behind the curtain, we decided it was time to bring it to the other side of the curtain and really dive deep about this topic with everyone in our audience today. So I'm really thrilled to be being able to dive into a topic with you today on this.
Well, and it's such a timely topic for a couple of reasons. Directions U has a program called the Associates Program. And every month, there's either a recorded workshop or a live workshop. Well, the workshop that's part of December is the Joint Venture Systems Workshop 1 that talks about joint ventures being used to get any asset your business needs. It covers using joint ventures to drive traffic, joint ventures to generate leads, joint ventures to build a list, and many other topics related to joint ventures. In January, on the 30th and 31st, I'm doing the JV Systems Workshop 2 live virtually. And that one will go even more in-depth into the world of joint ventures. And then the week of February 23rd, I am co-hosting an event called the JV Summit, my good friend Mark Harris, 5 days of nothing but joint ventures. And the whole point of the summit is to actually bring small business owners in, get them actually interacting with like-minded entrepreneurs, having people walk away from the summit with actual joint ventures already ready to go and ready to start making money. So the next 3 months in my world are all about joint ventures, Linda.
Right, and I can't think of a richer way to help people who I know at this time of year are starting to summarize what have they worked on this past year, how's it succeeded, and they turn around and start creating their plans and their goals for the coming year. And what I so encourage the members of my programs to do is to keep thinking, how do I create breakthroughs? And as you and I keep talking with our folks over and over again, part of the breakthroughs is a new way of thinking, a new way of taking action, and a new way of creating leverage that lets you truly create breakthroughs in the direction you're taking your business and literally taking yourself and your business up to the next level. So I'm really thrilled to be able to take it into conversation and then invite people to take next steps and taking it even deeper for their businesses. So I'm excited for today. So, you know,
so
Gina,
we would be very remiss, Linda, if we didn't start this conversation off by answering the question, what the heck is a joint venture?
Exactly. You know, in conversation I will have with people when I pose the question, what do you think a joint venture is or looks like? They either view it from a very highfalutin level, like, well, you've got to be a Donald Trump to be able to do joint ventures, or if I raise the topic of the idea of a strategic alliance, they think it's something for big, complex businesses, and yet it's of so much value regardless of the size of business you're in or whether you're in products, programs, or services. It's relevant in all those arenas, isn't it?
As well as whether you're an online or offline business, it's 100% relevant.
Exactly.
So what is a joint venture? Very simply, it's the coming together of two or more people or entities to achieve a mutual objective. And I think in the online world, people actually get joint ventures as a label wrong, because they don't understand that very simple definition, two or more people or entities coming together to achieve a mutual objective. Often in the online world, a joint venture looks like this. Somebody has a product. Somebody else has a list of subscribers and customers. The person with the list promotes that product to their list. It's called a joint venture in the online world. It's really not a joint venture, and it's not a joint venture because it doesn't fit the definition. It is no mutual objective or goal between the two entities doing the joint venture. One guy wants to sell his product. The other guy just wants to make money. It's not the same objective, and yet it's called a joint venture anyway.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we live in this world where each of us, probably at our home addresses, gets these envelopes filled with coupons where all these different businesses have coupons and they're all delivered en masse. I suspect some people think, well, that's a joint venture. Everybody's joint marketing. Nope, not a joint venture. And the same thing if you have two businesses on Main Street and they say, well, while you're checking out at the cash register of the bakery, I'll hand you a pamphlet for the bike shop, which is across the street. Joint marketing is not a joint venture.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So in very, very simple terms, just to get our listeners to better understand what a joint venture looks like, let's say that you are a mom. You have a kid who needs to get to school, and you don't have the time to take the kid to school every single day. You know another mom. Maybe you met the mom through soccer. That mom has the same objective. They need to get their child to soccer every day. And they, too, don't have the time to get their child to soccer or to school every single day. So these two moms come together to achieve the objective of how can we get our kids to school every day without it taking up our time. They decide to carpool. First mom's going to take Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The other mom's going to take Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That is a joint venture in its very most basic terms. There is a mutual objective. There is a coming together of two or more people in this case to achieve it. They could expand the joint venture and have five moms take part in it so that a different mom drives every single day. That's possible. So how does that relate to building our businesses? Well, it's no different in our businesses than it is in the offline world of moms wanting to get their kids to school. We just have to think through mutual objectives in terms of what does that mean, what does that look like, how do we find the people that have similar objectives to what we have for our businesses, and then how do we craft that into a joint venture. A great example is what we're doing at Directions U. First of the year, you're going to see Directions U's face changing quite a bit, because starting on the first of the year, we have faculty members who are all coming into DU, almost 10 of them. Each one is someone who has their own business, who has some sort of educational program that's offered specifically to entrepreneurs. Every single one of them is doing what they need to do to grow their business. So all of them are out there with their own websites. their own courses, they're driving traffic, generating leads, selling their courses. If we bring all of these faculty members together under the roof of DU, the brand of DU, and Directions U simply sends people out to all the different faculty members' courses in a way that really serves the customer.
Gina, we just lost your voice one sentence ago.
Just a joint venture.
Gina, back up two sentences.
It's bigger than just a joint venture because it's not just a one-time promotion. It's an ongoing promotion. Does that make sense, Linda?
It does, but your voice faded out about four sentences ago, so if you can roll back.
I just realized that. Let me see if I can fix it. Hang on a sec.
Sure. The joys of technology.
Okay, that should be better, right?
It's perfect.
So where did you lose me, do you remember?
About five sentences ago. That's not a very helpful description, is it? So it was... So since I'm unable to recreate the exact point at which you got lost, we'll keep going.
That's
forward,
okay.
And it will come
Sounds
back.
Sounds like a plan.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I want our listeners to keep thinking as we're using the examples of Directions U and the faculty that are coming on board. They have their own independent businesses, and yet they're coming together to create a shared result, a shared objective, because it's meeting the needs of the student, it's meeting the needs of the client. Let's take it for a moment into the offline world. We'll go back to the bakery and bike shop idea for a moment. You know, passing a pamphlet from the cash wrap to a customer is not a joint venture. Creating a one-time event where you have a bike ride where the bakery supplies baked goods and the bike shop shows up with how to ride your bike more effectively and safely, a one-time event, not really a joint venture. Joint venture might look like, how do we create a club of riders that we're coming together to say, how do we create an amazing experience for that club? So what is it we would be bringing together in terms of education, food, the planning of the event? And again, taking it beyond a one-time event to how do we make this a once-a-year event or a once-a-quarter event, collaborating together to create the objective of the experience of the riders at this kind of event. Now we're starting to move into this idea of joint venturing.
And a joint venture can be a one-time event. A strategic alliance is a time event.
Right.
So what the heck is the difference between the two? Well, there is actually a huge difference from a legal perspective. Now I will put my normal little disclaimer in. I am speaking as a coach and mentor and not as an attorney. Please check with your lawyer on the ramifications of joint ventures. However, in most states, when you call someone a joint venture partner, there is a very specific legal ramification of doing so. Joint venture partners are actually construed by most courts as true equity partners in a business. A strategic alliance, however, does not include equity ownership in someone's business. I've been waiting for years for the first court case to happen from an online product launch called a joint venture. Because what I really think is likely to happen, let's say you get 20 people all coming together to launch a new coaching program online. Those 20 people are simply promoting the coaching program. One person's business owns the coaching program. Legally, in most states, those 20 people that just promoted it as a joint venture partner actually now have an equity ownership interest in the company's coaching program. Nobody intends to pass equity ownership interest to their promotional partners who are participating in launching the coaching program. Yet we don't necessarily realize that there are legal ramifications of calling them joint venture partners. instead put the label affiliate partners on it, no legal issue with equity ownership. Call them strategic alliance partners, again, no equity ownership ramifications. So you do really want to think about joint ventures as, is this someone I really want partnering with me in my business? And if it's not, then don't call it that. Call it a strategic alliance. Don't call it a joint venture.
Brian, let's expand the examples for a minute. Let's take lawyers, for instance. So lawyers can choose to have a referral relationship from one specialized type of attorney, say a business transaction attorney, to an attorney who deals specifically with estate planning or an attorney who deals specifically with tax matters. And they might come to an agreement to refer their clients to each other for those matters. That referral relationship is not truly a joint venture partnership.
Correct.
Those folks might consider over time, because of the depth and continuity of the relationship, that it's sort of kind of joint venturing. But again, it's not. It's referral relationships. It's got more of the flavor of a strategic alliance, but it's a strategic alliance because of preferred relationships and so on. So it's worth understanding these distinctions as you start to think about what it could look like for your particular business.
Yes. And I've done many joint ventures and strategic alliances with offline businesses. One that I talk about quite often is my cousins. My cousins have a restaurant here in Naples, Florida. Naples, Florida is a very touristy area. We have people who are here year-round, but it's a handful of the population. And those that are here as tourists, usually they don't stay more than 3 to 6 months, yet they account for about 80% of the people in the area in the month of January. So it's a huge difference between July, when there are no tourists here, and January, when there are loads of tourists here, for a business that's a local business like a restaurant. So my cousins opened the restaurant 4 years ago. When they did, they wanted a way to attract the locals, the people that were going to be here year-round, not only attracting the tourists, because they didn't want their business to be quite so cyclical. They wanted stability year-round in their business. So they went out and did the research to figure out who were the people that lived here year-round, what were the characteristics that they had in common, and how could they actually plan to target those residents, not the tourists. When they got the data from the Chamber of Commerce, they learned that 87% of those that lived here year-round owned dogs. Well, that's a huge chunk of the people living here year-round owning dogs. 87%? Oh, my goodness. So they actually built everything about the restaurant to attract dog owners, not just people. So they have a special patio. It has special little bowls set up for the puppies. They have these bulletin boards where they take pictures of the people who come with their dogs and put them up on the bulletin board to kind of show off their patrons and their dogs all eating dinner together. They actually put these bark control house boxes all over the patio so that if there were too many dogs in one place, barking shouldn't be a big issue. They did a lot of things strategically to really ensure they would target the people who lived here year-round by targeting dog owners. They
Brilliant
open up
concept.
December 22nd. It is, right? They open up December 22nd, right at Christmas. Really tough time of year around here because it is so jam-packed with people. But they don't want just people. They want dog owners who are going to come back even in July and August. So we started looking at the possible joint ventures that might happen. And in doing that, we asked, where is it that dog owners were likely to frequent already? Well, we've got some ideas about that. We've got pet shops, we've got dog groomers, we've got veterinarians, but we also have things like movies about dogs. Our first joint venture was with the movie theater. The movie theater, the movie hotel for dogs, just happened to come out on the 25th of December that year. Perfect timing.
Perfect.
Certainly a movie that would be watched by lots of dog owners, wouldn't you think?
I think so.
So we went to the movie theater. We said, we'd like to joint venture with you. Here's what we want to do. When people buy two meals at Fred's, we want to give them a free buy one, get one free ticket to see Hotel for Dogs. When people buy two tickets to Hotel for Dogs, we want to give them a buy one, get one free coupon to come to Fred's. We'd like to do this not just with Hotel for Dogs, but any other dog movies that happen to come out in the next 12 months. Oh my gosh, was the movie theater excited about this idea? They were only about 2 miles away. They saw it as a perfect opportunity to have marketing and ads going out about dinner in a movie instead of just going to the movies. So everybody agreed to it. We then wrote the press release that we sent to the TV and the radio and the newspapers and the magazines. And the press release was about dinner in a movie. And it talked about dog lovers seeing Hotel for Dogs, having this wonderful experience of going to dinner first, bringing their dog, and then going to see the movie. We got so much publicity from that one little press release. It actually got one of the bigger radio stations in the area to broadcast live from the movie theater the day after the movie opened for 3 hours. The following week, they broadcast live for 3 hours at Fred's, getting the people who came to Fred's after seeing the movie on the air. 6 hours of radio that we didn't pay a penny for. In the next 90 days, you couldn't get a table at Fred's from that publicity. It was physically impossible. If you called for a reservation, it was more than a three-month wait to get one. Well, that worked really, really well. So the following month, when the first Buddies movie came out, we simply did it again. The second month, the TV stations got on board, and we had four different TV stations broadcasting the news from either Fred's or the movie theater. Again, just kept duplicating the same thing over and over and over again with every single dog-related movie that came out that year. And that happened to be the year that so many dog movies came out, Linda. That first year, they did not have to spend a penny on advertising for Fred's. All of it was just this one joint venture.
And sometimes serendipity is a glorious thing.
Right?
It really is.
It really is.
And Gina, it's really important for people to understand that while one way of listening to the description you just shared in detail, they could take it away as, well, that's a whole ton of marketing activity. It's really important to step back and understand that marketing activity was the task level. There was an underlying objective that was shared by the businesses that was that joint venture.
Absolutely, Linda. Really good distinction to make.
So
and,
let's,
you know, this was the first movie theater we contacted, Linda. And it was what, a 15-minute phone call? That's all the work it took to really get this underway. Just get the vision for both companies solidified in one 15-minute phone call. That's all it took.
Right. This is not... It's not necessary for a joint venture to be hundreds of man hours to strategize it, to think it through, to come to agreements on things, particularly if you can start by speaking to what's the objective of each of those businesses. Of course, at the highest level, it's to build a sustainable, loyal relationship with your customers. That's sort of self-evident, but you have to be able to bring it into practical terms. What is the actual outcome you're trying to create for each business, and how is that able to take shape as a shared outcome through these activities?
And do you know what got them to say yes in the first phone call? And this is the answer.
I'm wondering. For me, it would have been the word dogs.
What got them to say yes was when Fred described the research they had done to figure out who the people were that weren't tourists that were here year-round. When they showed them the report from the Chamber of Commerce that said 87% of the year-round residents own dogs, the movie theater had no idea that that was the case.
And this,
and this
is so
particular
important
movie
for
theater
each of...
had...
Right, Gina, so important for the people who are listening, because we talk so often about strategy and action, and people all too readily skip over the research. That's the foundation for making those business decisions. And by going to the Chamber of Commerce and getting that data, the restaurant had extremely relevant information on which to plan and decide on a direction to take. And it was as relevant for the movie theater, because that movie theater has the same seasonality challenges because of the change in the population in that market.
And we chose to go to this movie theater because it was the biggest one in the area, and they were also the one that struggled the most in the summer. Going to them with this data to say, we've got the solution to fix the problem you've got in the summer, even though it's December and now is your busy season. That's what got them to say yes to it.
Yep. Again, we're ringing the bell again. It's what's the objective for the business? And if you take a step back to, or, you know, come up to the 64,000-foot level, it's how do we solve the seasonality challenge in business in this particular market? And that's where you've got the birth of the idea for the joint venture.
Right. And so in joint ventures, when you're looking for what makes for a good joint venture, you have to keep in mind that there are always three wins that come together in a joint venture. There's the win for you and your business. There's the win for your JV partner. It's the third win that most people forget about, yet it's the most important one to get people to say yes to your joint ventures, and it's the win for the customers. In this case, it was that win for the customers. What can we do to cater to the locals, not the tourists? That really was what got the JV together. Had we just gone to the theater and said, we've got a way to help get more people to your theater right now, they actually would have said no to it, and they told us that after the fact. They were really busy by then. They didn't need more people going to see Hotel for Dogs. They were already packed. Had we only gone to them with that, they would have said no right away.
Right. And here's the irony. Think about this from different aspects of scale. So we've been talking about one movie theater and one restaurant. I live in Los Angeles, and Disney is a model of doing joint ventures. For decades, the Disneyland theme park in Anaheim had, I will say, the same seasonality challenge, an enormous drop-off when it wasn't summer or holiday seasons. And they had to figure out the same challenge of, we've got this fixed resource that's in place, and how do we smooth it out? Well, what they did was they came to the same idea of, how do we incentivize locals to come and fill in that slow season time? And they in turn did the same thing, finding joint venture partners in the local community, meaning for them it could be a 2-hour, 3-hour drive in distance, but it was that same thinking of, what's the objective that needs to be solved for my business? What's the objective that needs to be solved for a potential joint venture partner's business? And how do we come together to create a blended solution?
Another offline business example, probably one of the most brilliant JVs I've ever heard of in my life. There's a resort in Sandusky, Ohio. Not exactly the hot spot in the country for people to go to a resort, right, Linda?
Exactly.
Their biggest challenge was twofold. Number one, they could get people to come mainly on the weekends, whether it was summer or winter when all the theme parks were closed. wasn't hard to get people there during the weekend, but it was really difficult to get people there during the week, especially in the winter. They had thought that they could go after business owners and business people, but Sandusky isn't even a burgeoning industry town. It's not like there's a lot of people that travel to Sandusky for business, so even that really wasn't great. The resort happens to be called the Maui Sands. It's a theme resort. Polynesia is the culture of the Maui Sands.
And we know the huge Polynesian population that's in Sandusky, correct?
It's just mammoth, right? So
exactly.
They asked the same question. Who is it that they could attract during the week to a Polynesian-themed resort in Sandusky, Ohio? They went, they did research as well. It turns out that Ohio, the state of Ohio, has the largest population of homeschooled kids in the country. I never would have known that. They probably wouldn't have even known that until they actually did the research. When they realized that homeschooled kids were huge, huge numbers in Ohio, even in Michigan, it's pretty high too, they decided, who could they attract Monday through Friday when kids were in school? They could attract homeschooling kids who don't necessarily have to be in quote-unquote school Monday through Friday as long as they're being homeschooled wherever they happen to be. They went to the Ohio Homeschooling Association. There are actually homeschooling associations for every single state, and usually even every county will have a homeschooling association. They went to the association with, we have a unique educational opportunity for homeschooling parents in the state of Ohio. Four times a year, once a quarter, they developed a curriculum, and they actually went and did JVs to develop it so that they could bring in Polynesian artists, Polynesian dancers, Polynesian chefs, all different things about Polynesia and Hawaii and the culture and the people and the food and the games and the entertainment. And they just developed this five-day curriculum that ran from Monday through Friday and used the Homeschooling Association to get the message out to homeschooling moms and dads that they could have a week off of their teaching and yet still have their kids in homeschool, just doing it at the resort. If they came to the 1 week every quarter, they could book a weekend trip with the whole family at a 50% discount. Well, that really fixed their problem of not being booked during the week, because moms and dads who came to the first one started giving them all these other suggestions of what else they'd like to have their kids schooled in at this Polynesian resort. They now have 6 weeks every quarter with six different sets of curriculum that they are continuing to do now, 6 years later.
It's a brilliant business innovation. And if we look at the puzzle pieces of the other participants in the, quote, joint venture, let's detail for people who each of the participants are in that joint venturing.
Exactly.
So you've got the hotel, you've got the homeschooling parent, you've got the Association of Homeschoolers, you've got the performers, and so on. Each of them
and
is
the performers they actually got from a little theater in Sandusky rather than going to Hawaii to get them.
Right.
And, of course, what happens, but sponsored by the little theater in Sandusky, who then gets mom and dad bringing their kids to all the other performances.
Exactly, exactly.
The chef,
so it's really brilliant.
Polynesian restaurant in Cleveland.
Exactly. It's stirring up activity for serving this audience from all of the different participants, and it's created because of their collaboration. Each of them could have decided on their own, gee, maybe there's a way we can serve families with homeschooled kids. But look at the not merely the leverage. Look at this entirely different offering and entity that is creating a result for those students, and it's spawning relationships with each of the participants in this joint venture.
Precisely. And that's how you want to approach joint ventures. You can use joint ventures and strategic alliances to get any asset your business needs, whether that means stuff to sell, people to sell it to, a list of subscribers. Truly any asset that your business needs for success can be had faster with bigger results using joint ventures. But you need to figure out what are the assets you're going to create using joint ventures. Then you need to think through those three wins, the win for you, the win for your JV partner, the win for the customer, for each one of those assets that you need. Something that could help you a little bit in figuring out the details of a joint venture is a JV checklist that you'll find at askggg.com/JV checklist, askggg.com/JV checklist. You don't even have to opt in to get it. It's a very detailed checklist that walks you through creating what I call the big three for joint ventures. The big three are as follows: an absolutely killer product or service, something to sell. That means a world-class product or service, not just an ordinary something to sell, but something a little bit more extraordinary. It includes a USP or a unique selling proposition, something that makes this different than anything else someone could buy in its place. And then a marketing plan that sells both the product or service and the joint venture. You really need two marketing plans. If we look at the example of the Maui Sands, that killer product or service comes in the form of this educational curriculum being offered at a resort. It's not just selling a resort. People could have gone down the street to the Kalahari Resort and gotten the Kalahari experience instead of the Polynesian experience. But they didn't have the educational component that the Maui Sands offered. So it's something a little bit more than the ordinary product or service that's similar. The USP, well, what made the whole idea unique was this USP built around giving your kids a fantastic homeschooling experience, but in a very unique way. And then the marketing plan to sell the joint venture, the marketing plan to sell the product. In this case, it was really pretty easy for selling the product. They simply used the association to do it. I don't even think the Maui Sands ran ads in the paper or the radio or anything. I think all their initial reservations just came from the promotions from the association. They also needed a marketing plan for the joint venture. What were they going to say? How were they going to find all the other companies that participated in this? What were they going to say when they went to the theater to get the people who did Polynesian dance and Polynesian acting? What were they going to say to the chefs to get the Polynesian food and the teaching of it into it? They needed a plan for how to find those people, who they were going to be. And this JV checklist is going to walk you through that.
And as people are listening to this, it's important for them to understand, I want you, all of our audience, to understand, the same thinking goes into planning an event and the participants in an event. What distinguishes an event from a joint venture partnership, a strategic alliance, is that you're really over and over again thinking about how do we keep serving our audience, our customers, our clients. So if you're going to go to the effort of assembling an interesting event, that's fine. It's a moment in time where you're serving that shared audience, that ideal customer. How might you think about it in terms of how it actually helps you build and grow your business and your joint venture partners' businesses by creating an ongoing relationship with that client?
Was that a statement or a question?
It's a question I want our listeners thinking about over and over and over again, because if you're going to put in the thinking and the effort to design it, again, it's back to leverage. How do you build on that effort? You need to keep thinking in your business how to not make everything be a one-off exercise, unless you become renowned and famous for one-offs. It's to build a sustainable, scalable business. It's really looking for a joint venture partnership where that's the same value system for both businesses. How do we create a sustainable, scaled, highly profitable business? That's the underlying thinking over and over again when you're looking at joint ventures.
And this usually means that you need more than one thing to sell. You want one thing that you use the JV to sell. You want something else that you can use to generate profits on the second sale. So if you've got only one product to sell in your business, you constantly need new customers over and over and over again, which isn't going to make you very much money. It's going to make you have the highest possible expenses in your business, the lowest possible profits. Especially if you're going to use joint ventures to help you get those customers in the first place. Joint ventures are the most expensive kind of traffic there is. You almost always end up having to pay a joint venture partner a share of the sales to get them to say yes to working with you in the first place. The examples we've given with the Maui Sands, Fred's Naples, neither of those required any money to actually get paid to the JV partner. So if you can find that kind of JV, awesome. But especially when it comes to online businesses, it's not easy to get the yes from the JV partner unless there is something coming to the JV partner monetarily. In the digital product world, that usually means between 50% and 100% of the sale goes to the JV partner. It's not unusual for a JV partner to expect 100% of the sale as a commission.
And let's explain that further to folks who are listening who are not familiar with that idea. It's an investment that you're choosing to make.
It's generating a lead. Let's say I'm launching a new ebook. My ebook's coming out at $47. The whole reason I'm doing it in the first place is I really want people coming into my coaching program at $5,000 to get the promotional partners I need to help me get that ebook into the hands of thousands of people. I might decide that I'm going to pay all $47 to the people that bring me those leads. Why would I do that? Why would I do that because I'm not going to make any money on it? Well, I would do that if I have a large percentage of the ebook buyers likely to buy my coaching program at $10,000 or even $5,000. It's very inexpensive to pay $47 to generate a lead, someone who's a qualified buyer that's very likely to actually want the other thing that I've got. Usually, you don't even need to pay anything to the JV partner on the coaching program. If you're going to pay them $47 on that ebook sale, they won't expect anything more than that. So it can make good business sense to do it. Now, on the other hand, if I could go to Facebook and use some paid advertising on Facebook, maybe it only costs me $5 to get that $47 sale, and it's going to bring me as qualified of a buyer from Facebook as I would have gotten from the JV partner, which makes more sense. Do I spend the $5 to get the $47 sale, knowing that they're likely to convert on my coaching program? Or do I spend the $47 to get the JV partner to bring me the ebook buyer? Well, the difference is with the Facebook ads, you got to pay for it up front. You can't wait till the sales come in. With the JV partner, you don't have to pay it up front. You're going to pay it out of the sales after they happen. So when you're just getting started, you know what? Maybe you don't use Facebook ads to begin with. Maybe you use JVs to get those leads coming in, to get people converting into the coaching program. But really plan strategically for that time when, because of the leads that the JV partners helped generate, you now have enough revenues that you can afford to then do paid ads to drive the next batch of leads. It just takes a little bit of planning.
It takes the planning, and it takes putting on the business matter-of-fact thinking, the hat that you wear when you're planning your business, including from the economic side of things. You may be at a stage in your business where you want to manage your cash flow in a particular fashion. Therefore, you pick one approach over the other approach of when you might be bearing expenses. There isn't a single right approach to take. It's what makes the most sense right now for you and your business.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those who have products right now, like I have so many products. Over the last 6 years, I bet I've created 25 or 30 products minimum. Those are all potential joint ventures waiting to happen. I've had three joint ventures drop into my lap this week in the last 7 days. All of them, people who came to me wanting help with figuring out how to get something to sell to an audience they already have. And my products are exactly what they were trying to figure out how they could create easily. Well, they don't have to create them. They're already existing right this minute. For me, it's really found money. I simply give them the materials they need to market those products. I can even give them the products to deliver on their own website if I want, and they simply pay me for every sale that occurs. Easy, truly passive income, money that you make without having to do much work at all.
And again, the content between the joint venture partners are serving a specific audience, people who are looking for that information and are being served beautifully by the content that you already have created, being offered through that joint venture partner's marketing and relationship with their list, their prior clients, their prospective customers, and so on, reducing the work on both fronts, building both businesses, serving the same audience.
You didn't hear that last question. My headset fell off.
So, again, what I was just reiterating that what we have is we have two joint venture partners, one with the content, one with the audience. The content is serving that very specific customer, client, prospective customer, and so on. And so it's leveraging and serving that customer's needs in a way that's most effective, most efficient, and meeting both the business objectives of both of the partners.
Absolutely. And now let's use a couple of examples from you for a minute. You're getting ready to create the content for your high-end coaching program to also create the content of your low-end and mid-range products. You've got the plan for the curriculum. You know what your customers are going to need. How can you use joint ventures to help you get it all done and get the sales happening at the same time?
Right. It's a perfect example because I have the five core systems that I work with my clients and the Breakthrough Academy students on. So, for instance, Breakthrough You, which is all about your mindset, your skill set, your tool set, and the vision and goals for your business, my strategic alliances are that I have people who go very deep in mindset. So that if people want to take a year-long program on mindset, I'm delighted to have them co-teach the content or share their content on a webinar that I do with them and then offer my students a way to go deeper by being in partnership with those joint venture partners, my strategic alliances, for people to then go and to go take that learning with that master of mindset. Same thing again with working out a profit model. I have people who are experts like yourself, Gina, in online marketing. I have people who are experts in offline marketing. If people want to go deep and detailed in each of those arenas, then that's where there's a perfect strategic alliance because I'm able to serve my students with the expertise they need through bringing that expert into partnership with me in the program, both in the content of the curriculum, in the capacity for my students to go deeper and get more detailed support in arenas that some of the students want and some of the students don't want, while I stay on track with the content that I'm sharing and the customization I'm doing in the work I'm doing with those same clients.
And by bringing these presenters into a workshop to get them to deliver the content that you want your people to have, you can also get those same people to promote the workshop that they're now presenting in. As long as they have the right audience, which they should, right? If they're teaching a topic that in the workshop, they should have the right audience in their business. You now get all the assets your business needs pretty easily. You've got the content of the products that you then sell at all the different levels. You then have the new customers, the leads, if you will, being brought to you from these relationships. It's really massive amounts of leverage, isn't it?
It's huge. And so it's how I've created the curriculum for the Breakthrough Academy. It's how I've created the curriculum that's available in workshops delivered live or the recorded programs. So it's enabling me to create tiers of ways that I can serve my students, my ideal clients, and at the same time, highly complementary with the other experts that I'm bringing in so that the content that I'm creating can be highly relevant for their markets, their tribes, their lists, their customers who are looking to build their businesses in the same way that their content is helping round out the expertise of the business leader, the owner, in that I have as my students. It's this wonderful synergistic flow back and forth that in both instances is creating relevant content, relevant teaching, relevant information and help that's serving that ideal customer and building my business, building their businesses, serving everyone simultaneously.
Absolutely. And that's really what all of our listeners should be thinking through. What does that look like in their world? What are they going to sell? How are they going to create it? Is there a way that they can bring joint ventures in to help create it and sell it? Then go out and actually figure out who the joint venture partners are going to be. When you do it in that order, oh my goodness, life gets so much easier. And really think through those three wins for each JV that you're interested in doing. That's the key. It's those three wins. If you've got people coming in, let's just say that in the mindset component, you decide you're going to go out, you're going to do this workshop. You're going to bring in someone who's a time management expert to help deliver the time management content in your workshop. But while that person is a time management expert, they normally talk to teachers and school administrators about time management. Well, they're going to get you the leverage you need of getting the content. But as a promotional partner, that's probably not such a great fit for you, is it, Linda?
Exactly. That's why it's so important to understand, for all of our listeners to understand, this: the point of a joint venture partnership is not to leapfrog over effort, to just get content created with the least amount of effort. It really is there a match in who we're serving so that that effort is serving both businesses at the same time? All the partners are benefiting, and it's not merely that content is getting created and so on.
Precisely. Really, really, really important. So think that through and plan it out and see what that looks like in your world. Because, boy, if you can find a way to use joint ventures to get every asset your business needs, you really will be able to get things moving way faster than you ever could doing it all on your own. You just have to plan it out.
I think one of the important elements for us to touch on for a moment is this idea that people think, well, if I craft a joint venture partnership that looks like an interesting business model, all of my, quote, competitors are going to copy me. And it's so important to understand how few people think this way. It really creates a true competitive differentiation for you in growing your business. People just don't think this way. They might think about, how can I accelerate my marketing, but that's not the same as truly coming up with a joint venture partnership, which is about serving that shared audience at the highest level and highest value you can in order to benefit both businesses.
Yeah, no question about it.
Very different.
Yep.
So Gina, we've talked today about people who might be in professional services, people who might be experts in a particular arena. We've talked about people that have, well, hospitality industry, which in a sense is a service industry, but it's place-based. We've talked about product manufacturers. What other ideas do we want to bring to people in the last minutes that we have with them today?
Oh, my goodness. One other thing we really haven't had a chance to talk about is the idea of what I call hybrid joint ventures, Linda.
Oh, perfect.
Hybrid joint ventures, oh my gosh, are they big. They are even bigger than regular online JVs or regular offline JVs that we've talked about. A hybrid joint venture is one that has an online business and an offline business coming together in the same joint venture. And this is probably the single most underutilized joint venture strategy I have ever seen. It is huge how powerful hybrid joint ventures can be. So let's look at what that might look like. Years ago, I had a number of ebooks that I sold. I had one in the crocheting niche, another in the quilting niche, another in the knitting niche. And they were just little ebooks. They sold for $10. They started out as PLR ebooks. I added a bunch of stuff to them to make them unique. And while it was nice to make the $10 from the ebook, I didn't have a back end for it. I didn't have another way to continue making money. So I went to craft stores that had national or international audiences like Joann's, like Hobby Lobby. I got them to help me find a way to make more than $10 per ebook. They wanted new customers, so they willingly allowed me to put coupons into my ebook. You had to buy the ebook to get the coupon. When they came in with the coupon and redeemed the coupon, had to put their name, email address, and phone number on it. They paid me up to $5 for every single coupon that got redeemed. You have
Brilliant.
No idea how easy it was to set that up. So easy, Linda. So, so easy. And it produced way more money than I ever would have had just selling the $10 ebook. It was really amazing how much more lucrative things became because of it.
I love it, and it's so relevant as people are listening to think about your business from the online perspective, the electronic asset perspective, the offline perspective, the service perspective. There's so many possibilities and ideas for what can make a really lucrative, valuable joint venture, and it's so exciting to be able to talk about this all so thoroughly with everyone today.
It is. So if you want to learn more about joint ventures, the way you can do that is through the upcoming Joint Venture Systems Workshop 1 that comes out December 15th and the live JV Systems Workshop 2, January 30th and 31st. You can get more details at askggg.com/associate special, askggg.com/associate special, it's normally $197 a month. But listening to this show, I'm going to give you a coupon code. You scroll down to the bottom. You want to put in M. Actually, let me change that right now. You want to put in Breakthrough Directions, BD Special, all lowercase, 2013. BD Special, 2013. That's going to take $100 a month off of your ticket into the associate program. So you get $97 for December. You get the Joint Venture Systems Workshop 1. $97 in January gets you the Joint Venture Systems Workshop 2. And tickets to both of those are normally $247 regular price. So make sure you go and use that coupon ASAP. I will make that coupon valid through the 15th of December, Linda.
Perfect, because I know we have so many people who listen to our discussions on this show in replay, so it's great to know that people who are listening to the recording can also avail themselves of that coupon. And I encourage you, if you're listening to this now and you think, well, I don't think you should think, you know that joint ventures could be highly relevant for you and your business, I encourage you right now to go use that link. You'll find it in the show notes as well, in order to go and get yourself into the joint venture workshops.
Awesome. Have a great week, everyone. And Linda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.